You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're having a series break. Last week, we concluded our series called Want More. And for next week naman, we'll be starting a brand new series. An exciting brand new series na to next week. Don't miss that. Now, but for this week, as I said, series break muna ta. Breather muna ta from all our series. And we're going to talk something here that's very timeless, siguro. That's very important for us. As you know, as a church, we exist to honor God and make disciples. And this Sunday, we'll be focusing especially on that second part, the making disciples part. Discipleship, we're all called to make disciples, not just us mga full-time ministers, not just the volunteers. But if you're here today, you consider yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, you're part of the kingdom of God, then you have been called by God to make disciples. But sometimes that whole thought of making disciples might seem overwhelming to us. We might think na, Tom, busy kay ko, you know, I have my life to live and all that. How can I make disciples? Or perhaps we just don't know how to do it. Now, that's what we're going to talk about here today. How did Jesus empower his disciples to make disciples? That's why our topic for today is entitled 2 by 2. And we're going to learn later, nga na ba 2 by 2 ang title aning topic. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 9 and 10. Not the entire chapters 9 and 10, but only on portion, on segments on Luke chapter 9 and 10 that talks about ministry patterns. Again, how Jesus empowered his disciples, his first few disciples, whether that be the apostles or the first followers niya, how did he empower them that they would be effective in making disciples or in preaching the gospel? So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, and Luke 10, verses 1 to 2. And we're going to read of these all together. It says here in Luke chapter 9, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whenever they do not receive you, and when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went to the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Chapter 10, verse 1 to 2 says here, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, 2 by 2 into every town and place, and where he himself was about to go. Verse 2, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, for your word, God, that you're reminding us once again the importance of going out there, God, to preach your word, the gospel, and to make disciples as well, God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, do you speak to our hearts and minds today in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be looking at patterns or ministry patterns in Luke chapters 9 and 10. And we've been looking at this in three portions. With my three important points that today. The first one is commission, then content, and lastly, community. So we'll be looking at these verses through that lens. So firstly, commission. When you hear the word commission, perhaps like an idea, but to commission means to give an order to someone. You're telling someone to do this. It's to give them an instruction that they are to do. That is why when some artists, you use the phrase commissioned, diba? When artists make art, sculpture, painting, we often use the statement, decommissioned siya. It's to give an instruction. Now, perhaps you've heard of the Great Commission. Again, Jesus told his disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And they would make disciples themselves. We've been told that. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, Jesus also gathered or called his disciples to himself, and then he would send them out later. He would commission them. But the first part here is that he called the 12 together, his first followers, ang apostles, he called them together. And the importance here is that before Jesus commissions us, before he sends us wherever we are, in whatever workplace, whatever campus, whatever nation, whatever community, we are to be gathered together, to be united in him. The starting point for any form of ministry is the calling to come together. Before we go out there, Jesus called us to himself first muna. We are gathered muna. That's why the church is a gathering of believers. It is important for us to be gathered, to be connected to one another. The word there, gathered or called, comes from this Greek word, which I can't read, okay? Sigkaleo, which means summoned. To be summoned, it's like kanang gitawag ka sa principal's office. Kasi naka-experience na na. If you know people, maybe your friends, that come here to the principal's office, gitawag siya. That's what it means, to be called, to be gathered. Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, again, it says here, He called them, He summoned them, He gathered them together, and for a specific purpose as well. When He gathered them, it wasn't just to hang out, pasagibuhat, no. He called them to Himself, He gathered them, because He gave them power and authority, and this is very important. As we have been gathered in union with Christ, as we live our lives with Christ in us, sometimes we think, okay, Tom, I've heard about preaching the gospel to people, to going out there, to make disciples, but parang overwhelming man kayo. I can be so afraid to do so. I'm the only Christian wherever I am. How can I do this? There are obstacles. There are challenges. I think no one wants to listen to me. Well, guess what? Before these 12 were sent out, while they were gathered with Jesus, and again, if you would remember the first 12 followers of Jesus, ang apostles niya, if you would consider the kind of people that they were, what were they? Fishermen, tax collectors, seemingly ordinary people in their time. Some of them, outcast pagani, itong mga tax collectors. And yet, Jesus gathered them and gave them something important that would enable them, that would empower them to be effective in their ministry. It says here that He gave them power and authority. These 12 apostles, they didn't have the power and authority in the first place. And seemingly ordinary people lang sila. They weren't as learned or as schooled as some of the religious leaders. They were simple people. And yet Jesus gave them the power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. In other words, with Christ, we are able to effectively preach the gospel and disciple the people around us. All the power and the authority that we need is found in Christ. The reason why we can say that we are called to go out there, the reason why we can preach the gospel with boldness, the reason why we can hope and believe that we will be effective in doing so. The preaching of the gospel is not just for a select few, but for all believers. Regardless of our background, regardless of our status or our educational backgrounds or our age, the reason why we can say that is because all the power and authority is from Jesus. And He has given it to us to be effective in ministry. It says here, He gave them the power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And why again? Because He sent them out. He gathered them. He empowered them. He told them, all the power and authority I give to you. It's like a police officer who went to training, who went to PNP and all that. And after graduating all that, he is, what's the proper term? Deputized, but I forgot that was the proper term for that. Now he has the authority to enforce the law, to arrest people. And the badge says, no, he has the authority to do that. Likewise, kita, we have been given the authority and the power to preach the gospel, the word of God. And it says here that just as Jesus sent out, He sent out niya ang 12, we've also been sent out. We are called together to be sent together. Take note of that. Sometimes we think that as believers, we limit Christianity sometimes to just coming together to the church. I'm not saying that importante ang mag-attend sa church service. It's important for us to go on a Sundays to the church service. But Christianity is not just limited to the Sunday service lang. As Christians, okay, we don't boil down our walk with God to just a one-time thing on a Sunday. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to basically live our lives that honors God from Monday to Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just on Sundays. And part of our responsibility as followers of Christ is that we have been sent out to advance His kingdom, to preach His name. And that leads to our second question again, actually, and I'm getting ahead of myself. What were they sent out to do? Was the whole point of Jesus giving them the power and authority? Why would He gather them? No big deal man ang paggather nila. And then He sent them out. Well, He sent them out to proclaim. Okay? And the second part was to heal as well. Now, self-explanatory itong second part, to heal many diseases. But why specifically heal many diseases? And why proclaim? You see, to proclaim, that word there means to herald or to announce a message publicly with conviction. Perhaps you've seen when you were younger, kana mga nag-read og scroll, mga medieval movies, or mag-say sila law or announcement, diba? Hear he. Well, the same way, Jesus sent them to proclaim, much like this announcer right here. Right? Because back then, wala namang internet, diba? Di man ka maka-post lang sa Facebook na announcement, wala maka TV, wala pa radio, by word of mouth pa. So if you need to have a message broadcast to the people, you would send in these heralds so that they would go on ahead of you and they would proclaim the important message, instruction, or law that you would want them to say. oftentimes royalty or military purposes, they would do so. They would send in these people to proclaim. Now Jesus did the same thing. He gathered his 12, gathered them, empowered them, and he sent them out to proclaim, to give an important message with conviction. And that was the reason as well why he told them to heal diseases, because as they would heal and perform miracles and cast out demons, it opened up opportunities for them to proclaim the message as well. It all boils down to this. The reason for doing all of these things was to proclaim. And take note, they were going ahead of Jesus as well. Jesus would come after them to proclaim a message. Now, this message was of great importance. It's kind of like, if you're familiar with the story of the marathon, so mga mahilig mag-run dere, like Pastor Kane, mahilig siya mag-marathon. Okay, if you remember, the story of marathon, it goes back nang, the story goes that there was this battle in Greece, then one soldier in that battle was tasked to run from Marathon all the way back to Athens. Because his news would bring good news or bad news. Because if bad news, napildi sila, then they would have to evacuate. If good news, then stay ra sila. So this guy ran with all that he could to Athens. Then the story goes that he proclaimed one word, and that was victory. And then he died. Okay? Medyo sad, but he died. But that news was so important. But this guy was willing to run with all that he had and willing to die to bring the news to the people, a news of victory. Now, the same way, the apostles or these 12 people that Jesus gathered and gave authority to and power, they were tasked or sent to proclaim something of utmost urgency, something so important na kailangan they would have to proclaim it with conviction. Perhaps you've seen people kanang passionate kayo mag-share or mag-rally people, mag-convey a message, much like the same way. The apostles were tasked to do that. Which brings to our second point or that we're going to talk about here, the content. Yes, they were commissioned and we have been commissioned as well to make disciples. But what about the content? What are we to proclaim about? And what did they, the apostles, proclaim and the rest of the disciples as well? It says here, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. They were to proclaim the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God was at hand, or that it had come. In verse 6 as well, they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So in other words, these disciples, these apostles, were tasked to go to the villages, to the towns, as many as they could, and they were to preach the gospel. That the kingdom of God is here. And if you remember, we've had a series about the kingdom of God. The whole concept of the kingdom of God was relatively new to them. Perhaps for us, you've heard of people for the longest time talking about advance the kingdom of God or I'm for the kingdom of God. But again, back then, very radical ang statement ng kingdom of God. Because for the Jews especially, they've been waiting for the longest time for the promised Messiah to come that would save them. Now for some of them, medyo they missed out the point that the Messiah would save them from their sins and assure them of eternity. For many of them, they thought the Messiah would save them from the Romans because they were oppressed at that time by the Roman Empire. But nonetheless, they have been waiting for the Messiah. And now these disciples were tasked to proclaim about him, the Messiah, the King of God, and of course, the gospel, the good news. And what is this good news? Perhaps we've been attending church for the longest time, but unsa bang gospel bitaw? No, unsa ning good news bitaw nga ginasulti sa Bible? Well, in summary, this is what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. All right? He lived the life we should have lived, died a death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. Statement right here is actually a lot of the basics of who Jesus is, how he lived this life. You see, the first part there, God became man in Jesus Christ. It talks about the incarnation, that God came to this world as Jesus. It talks about he lived the life that we should live. It talks about active obedience, sinless life, that we are called to live a life that honors him. But because of our sins, we failed doing so. And Jesus came to the picture to live it for us. It talks about the crucifixion, his sacrifice for us. And it talks about the resurrection of Jesus and that he is the Son of God. It proves that he is God himself. And lastly, it talks about salvation and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. That's the good news. That Jesus came in this world to save us, to redeem us from the consequences of our sins, and assure us of our eternity. That God did something to rescue us. That's the good news right there. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This is the Apostle Paul writing of the importance of the gospel. That leads to an important question to us. Is our life, is your life a living testimony to the gospel? If the apostles or the disciples were called to go out there to proclaim, to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, the same way that we are part of the church of God, we are part of His church, we are followers of Christ, are we a living testimony of the gospel? Are we exemplifying the gospel in our lives? Are we demonstrating it in our lives? And are we as well preaching the gospel? Have we ever preached the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is, to our friends, our co-workers, our classmates, our neighbors, our family members? Have we ever preached the good news to someone, church? Many of us here today, perhaps you were invited to a victory group, you were connected to one-to-one. Perhaps that's the reason why you were brought to the church. Now, someone invited you, someone shared the gospel to you, or preached the gospel to you rather. Now the question is, have you preached the gospel yourself as well? Have you mustered up the courage to risk rejection and preach the gospel to someone, knowing that this is good news? Knowing that we are to proclaim it with utmost urgency. In fact, the tense of that word, proclaim, means to do it constantly. With utmost urgency. Meaning, importante siya nga, pabalik-balik siya dapat in nun. Have we proclaimed the gospel, church, to the people around us? Are we willing to proclaim the gospel to the people around us? Are we willing to risk rejection to proclaim the gospel to the people around us? Thirdly, in this ministry patterns, is community. Jesus gathered his disciples. He commissioned them. He told them what to preach, the content. But also, He told them as well not to do it alone, to do it with a sense of community. Mark 6:7 says, "He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits." That's why our series break is entitled Two by Two. He sent them out two by two. In one story, He called the 12. In another story, He called the 72. But He sent them out two by two. Two by two, He sent niya. Now, He could have sent them alone, if 72 sila, directly, if He was to spread these people, the 72 disciples, they could have went to 72 towns or cities directly, if alone lang sila. But Jesus told them to go two by two, so at least, they could have gone to at least 36 towns. If walay mag-same nga magdungan nga pair, they went at least to 36 towns or cities. Now, why did Jesus do this? Why ask Him to go two by two? Why not alone lang para dagan masakop ng towns na yon? There are a few reasons. One could be because they had, sa Jewish culture, they had this practice that if someone were to bear witness or to tell something or to announce something, it's important to have another person with you or another witness. So meaning, mas reliable kung duha mo kabok, mag-bear witness or mag-tell something important to other people. So that could be one. But another is basically shared ministry. What do you mean by shared ministry? I mean, the way Jesus wants His disciples to do ministry, to do things for God, is basically to do it together. In the context of a community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Two are better than one." Okay, dili lang love song ang kadugan yung two better or one. Okay, dili siya love song, dili siya theme sa movies lang. But the Bible even says that two are better than one. It talks about relationships or in a community. J.C. Ryle says, "Two men together will do more work than two men singly. They will help one another in judgment and commit fewer mistakes. They will aid one another in difficulties and less often fail of success. They will stir one another up when tempted to idleness and less often relapse in indolence and indifference. They will comfort one another in times of trial and be less often cast down. Woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up." And he quotes as well, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible tells that it is to our benefit when we are with other people. In the same way, when it comes to doing discipleship or preaching the gospel, we are not to do it alone. Na kanya-kanya lang, tag-trip lang. But now, we're to do it in the context of a community. We are better together, not bitter together. Better together. We are a one body. Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. In other words, church, yes, sometimes we feeling ito overwhelming. You know, when we think about, oy, I need to preach the gospel to my workmates, classmates, parang, how can I do this? Tom, I'm the only Christian where I am placed in my work or in my class or in my family. Ako naman Christian na din. Though you might physically be the only believer or Christian where God has placed you right now, but you're not alone. That's why we have a church. Okay, the church is a community of believers. We're not just a service on a Sunday. If you've been attending this church for the longest time, pero wala kay kailag yapon, diba? Every time I say, greet your seatmates, ang yung imong response is, kitsaring tupad na ako, okay? Kitsaring gangisi na ako, hi, hello, okay? I encourage you, be connected to the church community. That's why we say, join a victory group or be connected for one-to-one. The church is more than just a service that happens nga 1 hour and a half on a Sunday. The church exists throughout the week, and you're missing a lot when you're not connected to the church community. And being part of a church community helps you as well. Even if ikaw raw sang kasyano sa imong family, imong school or workplace, being connected with fellow believers means there are people who would pray with you. There are people who would stand with you, encourage you when you're having difficult times. There are people who would celebrate with you. There are people who would correct you when you're doing something wrong. That's what it means to do shared ministry. That's why mawalang kapag overwhelming. When you talk about preaching the gospel or doing things for God, it seems overwhelming when we're doing it with a context if ako ra usaw, kung alone lang ta. But when we are with fellow believers, then the sense of being overwhelmed dissipates. Because we're with other people around us. When we are with other believers, all the more we're able to do what God has called us to do. It says here, consider how we can spur one another and love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. When was the last time you met with a fellow believer, with a church mate? Not during the service, but meet lang mo. To encourage one another, to catch up with, you know, kumusta ang lives with each other. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another. When was the last time you blessed someone? You prayed for someone? You genuinely showed care to someone nga taga church? Hey bro, kumusta na ka? And all the more as you see the day approaching. It talks about the importance of being united. Church, does your life contribute to the unity of the church? What are you actively doing to pursue unity? That the church is more united. What are you doing with your life? What are you saying? What are you posting? What are you doing? Practical things that would contribute to the unity of the church. That people are more united. That people are more connected to Christ and to fellow believers. Is your life a contributor to that? Or is your life naman naka-opposite? Divisive naman ang life nimo. I hope not divisive. But I hope that we are contributors to the unity of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13 says, for just as one body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Paul compares the church to a body, with Christ as the head of the church. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Just as in one body, there are many parts, many organs, many cells, many tissues. But even though different parts, they all exist in one body. And they all function together well in one body. That these body parts cannot function well if they are separated from the body. Nakita mo heart, gabit, nga wala body connected, gabit lang heart diha. Medyo morbid lang tao, no? Nakita mo lungs, ga work, nga wala, di siya connected with other body parts, no. These body parts function, are able to do so when they're connected with the other body parts. We are one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit, one community. Shared ministry. Jesus gathered his disciples, commissioned them, told them what was to be preached and content, and he told them not to do it alone, but in a sense of community. That's how Jesus empowered his disciples to preach the gospel, to advance his kingdom. But as we close, there's actually just one more point I want to share with us today. I said these three things, but there's one more really important thing that we can't miss out, and that is conviction. As we talk about patterns of ministry in Luke chapter 9 and 10, we need to talk about conviction. What do you mean by this? these disciples of Jesus, these 72 and 12 whom he gathered, think about it. They were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to go out there and preach the gospel. And if you remember, when we read of Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6 earlier, you would know that part of their instruction was not to carry certain things. Medyo lisod ang task nila. And they were to go to these different towns and risk rejection, risk ridicule, risk unbelief, and still preach the kingdom of God and the gospel. And what do you mean by this? You've heard of all those points, the commission, the content, the community, and all the things that Jesus did for them. And for many of us, siguro, when we hear that, perhaps ang mind nato is, I've heard about that, I know that. But the important question is, are you willing to do that ba? Are you willing to actually, after this service, throughout the week, let your life be used by God to be His ambassador, to preach the gospel, just as we were singing some of those songs a while ago, here I am, Lord, use me. I will go where you will go. Are we willing to practically do that? Lord, gamita ka, Lord, I'm going to preach the gospel. When you go back to the story in Luke chapter 9 and 10, there's this important phrase here that says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Meaning, there was something crucial that happened before this, that Jesus appointed these 72 and commissioned them and sent them out. And what was the immediate verse before Luke chapter 10, verse 1? Luke 9, verse 62 says, Jesus said to him, to a person, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Meaning, if you imagine this statement, this metaphor, ginagawa ni Jesus, no one who puts his hand on the plow, kanang tool pang araro, kanang pang kanang agriculture, who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Can you imagine someone, siya hand on the plow, he's not looking forward, he's not moving forward plowing, he's looking back. How many of you know that's silly? How many of you, it's like trying to drive but looking back. You're pushing on the gas, you're moving forward, but you're looking back. How many of you know that's dangerous? That's silly. You won't go anywhere with that. The whole point of Jesus, Annie, is telling this, is that we need to be all in. Dapat all in ta when it comes to following Jesus. It's all or nothing. Or all and nothing. When it comes to living our lives with Him and preaching the gospel, acknowledging that He is our Lord, our Master. He's the one who calls the shots. Part of the Lordship of Jesus Christ is using our lives as a testimony for the gospel. After this, after Jesus said this metaphor or this analogy, He says, He appointed 72 others. He sent people, those who were committed, those who had the conviction to preach the gospel and advance His kingdom. In verse 2, He says, and said to them, the harvest is plentiful. You heard this video about missions a while ago. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. There are people out there, church, who need to hear the gospel or are willing to hear the gospel. The harvest is not the question. That was never the question. The question here are the laborers. Will there be laborers who would be willing to go out there and reap the harvest? Will we be like that? That we will be willing to go out there and reap the harvest and preach the gospel? Summarizing Luke chapter 9 and 10, the commission, the content, the community, and the conviction to do so, it all boils down to Christ. Christ gathered them. The content is about Christ. They are united in community in Christ. Okay? Amidst their differences, they are united because of Christ. And their conviction to preach, to risk it all, is all because of Christ, because He is worth it. The Bible says that all things are held together in Him and through Him by Jesus. He's the name above every name. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We talked about this last week when we talked about generosity. That Jesus is above all things, is worth it, and the good news about Him is worth it. That's why we are to go out there, church, and preach the gospel. As I end, I want to go back to this point I shared a while ago. We are called together to be sent together. We aren't called together to stay here lang 5 years from now. When you look at the 11 a.m. service, when you look around you, uy, kagyapon. It's just you. Kita-kita ragyapo. No. And we're not doing this for the sake of numbers lang. But rather, we know that we are called out there to preach the gospel, and we're not called out there to preach about victory or to preach about our pastor or about. No, we are called out there to preach the gospel, the good news. Because that is the commission that Jesus has given to us. And as we do so, the church will just grow. The church will grow. But hear of the good news, more people would be saved. We have been called together, church. There's a purpose to our gathering. Whether we gather on the Sundays or gather on the weekdays, there is a purpose to that, that we've been united in Christ. And that is, we have been sent together. We have been sent. We are to be sent. We are not to be comfortable lang here on church, but we are to be sent out there, even in the midst of discomfort. Why? Again, to preach the gospel and to advance the kingdom of God. We are called together to be sent together.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.